2011. I'm your host, Doug Kelly, here with Grant Rubendunst. Stay, Grant.
Hey, Doug, how's it doing? How are you going tonight? Or how's it going tonight? Let me get it right.
You're mixing your sentences.
I guess I am. It's getting close to the weekend, so what can I say, you know?
Well, you know, it dawns on me, Grant, that 42 years ago today, men first walked on the moon. Unless
wow,
you're a conspiracy theorist, then they didn't.
Yeah, but, it seemed like it was that long ago, and looks like it'll probably be quite a while before we're riding in our own space craft before we're going back into space, too. So
do you remember where you were on that day?
Surely do. I was in, I was at Ocean City, New Jersey, hanging out down there where the summer before I went into the military. So, yeah, I had a great time.
Were you watching it? Watching the moonwalk?
We were so poor we didn't have a TV. But on the boardwalk, there were plenty of TV sets, and we got to see it. Yeah, so it was pretty wild, yeah.
Well, I was 10 years old. I was in Vancouver, Canada, British Columbia, and we were watching it on TV there in a campground.
Mm-hmm. It's a remarkable achievement when you look at it, when you look at the difficulties that they faced and the challenges, and, well, we did a great job, you know. We need that kind of spirit of Apollo all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tonight we are going to be discussing past lives and paranormal research. We have Melissa Watts with us tonight. She's a hypnotist and has conducted quite a few past life regressions. And if you have questions, you're more than welcome to call in. The numbers are on your screen, 347-945-7799. You can also ask questions in the chat. We also welcome the Inception Radio Network live listeners and those in the Inception Radio Network chat room as well. And we also,
it's nice to have you folks with us every week, you know.
And we also greet those who are listening to the archive. Melissa Watts, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much. Such a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you with us.
Melissa, tell us, what part of the country are you in? I have forgotten.
I am in Westchester, New York, in Scarsdale, right outside of New York City, about 20 minutes north of the city.
Okay, cool. So you've been a hypnotist for some time now and done a lot of past life regressions. And what we want to kind of get into a little bit is any connections, kind of talk to you about some of your experiences with past lives and any connections they could have with paranormal research. So let's just start at the beginning. How long have you been doing past life regressions?
Oh, my goodness, probably 6 or 7 years now.
Cool. So we'll see. If you started, go ahead.
I was just going to say, since you've been doing those, was there something that kind of triggered your interest, or had that always been your goal when you entered into the field or started your training as a hypnotist?
Definitely. It was always an interest of mine. I had read a book about 20 years ago by Dr. Michael P. Newton called Journey of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time when I was greatly, greatly interested in it. But it wasn't until, 15 or so years later where I had my own personal experience when I went to see a hypnotherapist myself, and my experience changed my life forever, which led me to actually having it as a profession and doing it for a living. Prior to that, I had been in corporate America for just under 20 years. And the experience that I had was so profound and so life-changing, I knew this was my calling.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you had a real epiphany when this occurred, huh?
Yes, yes. And it is, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. I'm very serious about it and really serious about keeping the integrity of it, because I know there are a lot of questions out there and there are a lot of, you know, skeptics or people who either don't believe or don't understand, but it was my own personal experience which led me to do what I do.
Is that something you'd care to share?
Oh, absolutely.
I had
been in corporate America for many years and was very successful. And it was just, I mean, I'd always had an interest in the unseen, the paranormal. You know, I always had a sense of there was more to life than, you know, what we see with our eyes. From a young child, I always knew these things. So I was always interested in, you know, reading different things. I mean, I was probably just in double digits, 10 years old, and I was reading books like The Erroneous Zones and, you know, Seth Speaks by Dr. Jane Roberts. So I always had a calling or a draw to it. So as an adult, I was very successful. I was in, you know, marketing, sales executive, and just wasn't happy. And it seems that at that time, there were so many things just happening in my life where wasn't happy in the job, was very successful, but I wasn't happy. I was in a relationship that had on and off relationship over about 20 years or so that had just ended. And, you know, I had a teenage daughter who was feeling her independence during that time. And so there were just a lot of things going on in my life, and I felt that I needed answers. I felt that what was presented to me in this physical world, so to speak, I knew that there was something beyond that. And always having the desire to have a past life regression experience, after reading the books by Dr. Michael Newton years ago, kind of prompt me to having that experience. And to say the least, when I went to see the hypnotherapist some years ago, I not only had the pleasure of experiencing several past lives, but also had the opportunity to come into contact with my own personal guide, and which gave me information about who I was, my life, me as a soul, and the blueprint of this life. And through that experience, it absolutely changed my life. And it made a lot of sense of all of the things that I was drawn to as a young child, you know, and all of the interest that I had in the paranormal or the unseen or the spiritual, so to speak. And it all made sense, and I knew that this was definitely something that I've come here to do, and not necessarily to come here and make people hypnotherapists and hypnotists, but to help people find their purpose in life, because that's what happened to me.
So, just if you don't mind me asking, out of curiosity, when you met your guide, was it somebody out of your family history, or was it somebody that what was the relationship to you, if there was any at all?
This particular experience with God was not, it was an entity that no longer incarnated anymore, a very old and a wise entity, and one that had been with me forever through all of my many lives and knew every ounce of my being, knew everything about me. And so it wasn't someone that I had a connection with, family or ancestry or anything like that. This was someone who hadn't incarnated in several hundred years or so.
Did you perceive it as male, maternal, or paternal?
Yes, my and part of the conversations that we had, and I wrote about it. I have a book, Lessons of Many Lives, and I talk about the whole experience and detail the events that took place in this first past life regression, and then, you know, many others. But I perceived him as male, and in me learning more about myself and learning more about the world beyond and my place in it, part of what I realized and part of what I was told was that it is my preference to, I mean, he is neither male or female, but it is my preference to view him as male.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even find myself saying he.
Mm-hmm.
But he is neither nor. And his name is All. A-L-L is the name.
I like
that. He goes by.
I like that.
Huh. He can't be named All, because my name's like the All Being.
No, your name is Al. You just spell it wrong.
Oh, that was good, Grant.
I'm sorry.
You funny. All right. Well, Melissa, the reason we had you on the program is to explore a little bit about past lives. Obviously, that's connected to reincarnation, and obviously, you know, that can or may have some connection to paranormal activity, and so that's kind of what we're looking to explore. But before we get to making any connections with that, let's talk about some of the obvious questions. You've obviously had your own past life regressions, but you've done many. So let's start with the question on, I mean, you obviously believe in reincarnation, correct?
Yes.
And what are some of your, why do you believe in reincarnation? That's a good question.
It's, well, again, you know, from a very young age, I knew that there was more to this life. And there was more to, you know, when I looked in the mirror as a kid, I knew that that wasn't all of who I was. I couldn't explain it, but I just knew that that wasn't all of who we were, who I am, and who others were. But that was just a sense. That was just a knowing that I couldn't explain. But after having the, you know, and I've had several different things that's happened to me throughout my life. You know, the loss of a very close loved one at a very young age. You know, surviving a fire. You know, where you completely lost everything. I talk about it in the book. And then finally having the experience of reliving different lives through hypnotherapy or through my past life regressions and getting an understanding of, you know, we reincarnate to progress as souls. So it's not just haphazard that we have the parents that we have or the siblings or the friends or the mates. I mean, all of this is planned and it's purpose in it. And basically, ultimately, when you get down to the nitty-gritty and the bottom of it, it is really for our soul progression, our growth, and our understanding of who and what we really are. And it's a tricky kind of a thing because I say understanding, but what I've come to realize is that it's more of a remembering than it is truly an understanding.
So,
and so I've experienced, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you can finish up.
I was just going to say, so in a lot of what I have experienced personally and then watching my clients, you know, come through these transformational experiences, it just kind of validates what, in a sense, I've always known.
So is it, do people only reincarnate to Earth, or do they reincarnate to other planets or other species?
Oh, good question. I have had other planets. I have had other species,
yeah.
I guess you can say. I've seen it all. I've seen it all, yes.
Well, that's interesting. That would be the first time I've heard that one, and that's interesting. I mean, you would think that would be the way it was if it all was going down that way. Here's a question from the chat room. If there is reincarnation, then is there a heaven and hell?
You know, there are different dimensions or different awarenesses. And so heaven and hell, as we understand it in this 3D dimension, is it's perception. you know, everything is really a perception. And so actually hell is really the lack of understanding of our connectedness to Source, or the lack of understanding of remembering who we are. And so because of the disconnection, we perceive things as negative and we perceive things as hell. So it's really, it's a yes and no to that question. Yes, there is a heaven and hell, but it's really all about our evolution and our perception.
What we make of it.
I like that definition, though, Melissa, that either the willful or the fault in perception that you do not belong to the tapestry creates that isolation. That, and it's almost self-inflicted to some degree.
Right.
Could be. So that's a very interesting train of logic. Very interesting.
That's what I've learned. That's what I've experienced. And, you know, it's really, you know, in having my own, what I love about what I do is that it wasn't just taught to me. Of course, I went through training, and of course I did, you know, all of the things that you do in order to be certified. But what I love about what I do, and the passion comes from what I do, is because I was a student of it. I was a recipient of being on the other side. And so they were in having those experiences, my guides and my soul path and my dharma in this life was to learn these things so that I can help others. And so it is definitely my role to have had these experiences so that I'm not, so that it's important to me to keep the integrity of the work that I do and also respect the perceptions and the ideologies of others. But I still stand very firm and very confident in the things that I have been shown and the things that I've learned. And so I feel it is my responsibility with integrity to share that. And not necessarily to reform anyone or to convert anyone, but I think my job is simply just to allow people to say, to walk away from a conversation or a book or a class or anything that I've done and say, and just to pose the question, then I've done my job, because the rest of it will be done internally at each soul's pace and unfolding.
Well, let's mention your book and your website, and then I've got several questions from the chat room. Go ahead and...
Sure. It's Lessons of Many Lives, and you can find it at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, all of the e-tailers. You can just Google it and it'll come up. And my web address is www.ephcenter.com.
Okay, and it is linked on paranexus.org in the archive schedule or the program schedule. All right, let me ask you a few questions from the chat room. One question is, how many past lives do we have?
Oh, my goodness. Several hundred at best, at minimum. Each soul is different, but very, very many, to say the least.
Okay.
Many.
And here's another one. What are the triggers for memories or feelings to occur about one's past lives?
Can you say that one more time?
What are the triggers for memories or feelings to occur about one's past lives? What triggers memories from past lives?
You know, it is, you know, everyone, and I probably sound like I'm repeating, but it's true. Everyone is unique, you know, in their own experiences. And these past life experiences are very customizable based upon what the soul needs to remember, to learn, and based upon what's in their life pattern. But some of the things, just from a general perspective, a lot of times, you know, people will find that they are drawn to a certain part of the country or a certain part of the world, or they may have an affinity for a certain food or, you know, an affinity for a piece of music or a certain time frame. You may, you know, walk into a store or someone and immediately have an affinity for that person and not understand why, or the opposite, a dislike for that person and not understand why. So there's several, or fear, you know, sometimes can be based in a trigger of a past life. I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, this work is so profound and so simplistic in its way. I mean, it could be something so simple and then something that's also so profound that, you know, it's the smallest or the largest of anything. And a lot of it depends on how ready the soul is, where we are, or the person, the client, or the prospective person who is seeking the information, what it is that they need. And that's the beauty of it. It is uniquely, the memories and the experiences are uniquely customized for our own highest good, and that's different for everyone.
Also, is there a difference between a past life memory and deja vu, or are they connected?
It is my own personal belief that that they are connected. You know, deja vu already has been seen, I think, is the general definition of a deja vu. And any time you're making the connection of something that has already happened, or whenever you allow yourself to get out of the norm of, you know, the linear life of what we live today, is connected to your soul or connected to the eternal self that you are. And that's really all past lives are, is allows us to connect the dots of our eternal experiences as we would connect the dots in the years that we have lived in this plane that we consciously are aware of.
You know, that's absolutely fascinating. You know, and you know, it brought to mind some of my own personal feelings. Like when I look at old photographs, and it's particularly ones around the turn of the century when photography was improving considerably, and you look, and maybe it's a crowded street in New York City or Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and you see just maybe hundreds of people out there, and people know they're being photographed, and some are looking at the camera, some aren't. And I always search amongst all the faces there and think, you know, gosh, sometimes I have a feeling I was out there, you know. Or other historical, so that really kind of validates some of my, you know, my kind of not wishful thinking, but thinking, you know, like how close we are to that. Because I think what's really important, and you so eloquently point out, is the fact that if you lose that connectiveness, or if you don't, or if you can't seem to find that sense of where you came from and where you might be going, you know, it's got to be really tough. Got to be very difficult, but I feel that connection.
That is true.
Okay, here's another question from the chat room. How can we all have been reincarnated, many of us multiple times, when there are more people alive today than ever have ever lived in all past times put together?
Well, you know, there are many souls that are coming back because of the wonderful place where the wonderful things that are happening now in our life. So there are souls who are deciding to come back to help in the evolution of what's happening in the world today.
So how can is there just a ton of souls waiting to be reincarnated, more than can possibly, you know, be done at any given time? Hello? Still with us?
Hello.
We lost her. Hold on just a sec, folks, and I will.
You got me, Doug?
I got you. You got
okay.
me?
Yeah, I do.
Do we have each other then?
Doug, we have each other.
Cool.
Like I told you, remember that space capsule analogy?
All right, let's see.
We lost Blog Talk too?
Nope.
Well, hey, folks. We're
going to
get Melissa back in a second.
Yeah, it's just
oh, I lost you.
Yeah,
hey,
no problem.
We felt a connectedness.
Okay.
We felt the momentary loss, and we're back, Melissa, because we're really enjoying your company with us tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm having a blast.
All right, yeah, so repeat my question. So in terms of the number of souls that are out there, is there just like an overwhelming number so that it really doesn't matter how many people are alive, there's always more souls waiting to reincarnate? Is that what you're saying?
It's more like the time to be in on this plane on Earth right now was so phenomenal. And I say that because of the awareness. You know, this is the first time that we can say in human history that we have the opportunity to be aware while we are embodied or incarnate, to be really aware of who we are. And so there's so many shifting, there's so many changes, there's so many things that's happening in the world today. And a lot of it is, you know, looks negative. I mean, we're looking at the economy, we're looking at, you know, natural disasters, we're looking at security, global security, all these different things. But what's happening is a shift. And so we've been so busy living on a specific paradigm, so disconnected, so unaware of who we really are, and these things are happening to wake us up. And so in that, because sometimes, you know, when you've been asleep for so long, the waking up process is not so glamorous or not so easy. And so now we have souls that are coming in that are, you know, this is a wonderful time to be here. And coming in to assist, and coming in to help, and coming in to be part of the evolution of humanity.
So what are all these?
You alluded to the fact too that these souls that are reincarnating may not necessarily have been from this plane of existence. They may not have originated at the Earth. So
that's,
I mean, that's
right.
A question about the number of souls. You know, either they're limited, or you can only replicate so many times. You know, it's an infinite universe out there, so there may be infinite possibilities.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's
out of finite possibilities.
Here's a couple more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky wants to know: does Melissa believe souls come in groups or collectives? Not sure.
The difference. Yes. Yes, there are. I've found in many of my own lives is that, you know, I've had specific souls that play roles for me, support roles, you know, based upon my evolution and my task. And so there are some that come specifically to, you know, we come in together and we make these. You know, I say it tongue in cheek, but it is really kind of this way. You know, if you think about Broadway and you think about when a producer is putting together a Broadway play and they have a casting call and there's a sea of souls that, you know, that want to play the role in this particular play. And the play is one's life. And so, you know, souls will raise their hand and say, well, okay, I will play the nemesis. I will make sure that you get that role. I will play the person that hurts you so you will understand the lesson that you need to get. Or I will be the person that loves you because, we work together and we've done this before. And I know this is something that you need to do in order to work through your plan or your lesson or the experience that you need to have. And that's really what it's like. And so, yes, we definitely have seen each other before. We definitely have worked together before. And it is a working together that is truly for a higher good, which is really for love. I mean, we are evolving just to realize that we all are connected and that we all really come from love. But we, you know, again, if you look at the world today, we've been operating so far away from that.
So what you're saying is that... And I think this is maybe what Vicky was getting at. So do you find that you gravitate toward souls that you have previously known in this
mm-hmm.
life? You know, you gravitate toward them in this life, the ones
mm-hmm.
that you previously knew?
Mm-hmm. Not always, but most times, yes.
Okay.
But there's always a wild card, if I'm hearing you correctly.
That's right.
There's
that's
always
right.
The wild card that's not expected. So it's, I guess maybe you have to think of it as a collective in the sense that there may be other interests afoot, or there may be other things from a different plane of existence that want to influence you for whatever reason, to help you learn whatever lesson it is that we need to learn at that particular time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's another question. Does the behavioral patterns, I just flipped up on me, does the behavioral patterns from a past life determine your behavior in your current incarnation?
Absolutely. A lot of times when, you know, when I started out doing this work, people were coming to me and say I'll take something simple. A woman or a lady comes to me because she has the pattern of choosing the wrong guy, the guy who just treats her terribly, and it just never works out. She cannot hold on to a relationship. It's always the wrong guy. And, you know, typically we'll go back to, and sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes we'll go back to a childhood issue, something that happened very early in life. But most oftentimes we go to lives or a life where there was something that happened in that life, and there's a pattern there and an energy that this soul did not release. And so, therefore, they come back to overcome that or to learn that. And so it's like in school, until you get through, you know, the eighth grade, you won't go to the ninth grade, and you'll keep doing the eighth grade until you get it. And you come back as many times until the eighth grade until you get it. And so, yes, patterns I find quite often. And what's happening now is that, you know, the people who come to see me, and because of the times we're in, I mean, the awareness, and the ability to be able to really understand ourselves is not just as being born in this life for the many years that we've had, but being born in many lives and seeing ourselves truly whole. And so looking at our patterns or the nemesises or the love that we have in our life as a pattern that's gone longer than just this life when you were 2 years old. And so,
you know,
it
certainly makes you wonder, because, you know, I'm sure this will resonate with you both. Don't you know that there's people that you make a bond with, okay? And even as a child, you may have a childhood friend, Doug or Melissa, that you've known
mm-hmm.
since you're 8 or 9, 10 years old, and it doesn't matter how far the distance is between the two of you, that bond is just as solid and as strong as with a family member. And you're not of any related blood or anything else. It's just a matter of that there's that strong bond. So, you know, I know that some one of the popular things is, well, that's an old soul. You've known your old soul, and you've known each other, and you were friends before. But nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty remarkable thing because, you know, once again, and Doug and I have talked about this in quantum physics, it seems like time and space are totally out of the equation.
You're right. You're absolutely right, and I'll give you an example. When I had my experience, in my first experience, past life regression, I was, you know, the awareness, and it was a profound thing, and I also write about it in the book, but I was Melissa, right, sitting in the hypnotherapist chair. I was also aware that I was, at the time, I was having this past life of where I was giving birth and died in childbirth. The child lived, and I passed on. And then at the same time still, and that's when my guide showed up, because I was so grief-stricken. I didn't want to leave the life. I didn't want to leave the child, and I was just floating in grief. And that's when my guide showed up. And then this conversation and this whole awareness opened up of how all of my lives were connected and how all of these things were happening in the now, but I was seeing all of these different things from different times. And so I was in the chair, but I was dying or had died as a young woman, having given birth to a child. And also I had an awareness where I was having this conversation with this wonderful being, and then also seeing that there was a connection of many other things to come. And in that moment, I realized that time is truly an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's another question. If you do not believe in reincarnation, will you be reincarnated?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we are not governed by our beliefs. We're governed by our soul patterns. And so if in this life you don't believe in reincarnation, it really has nothing to do when you pass over or when you pass over to the other side, because you become aware of who you really are and you understand that you are a... you are an energy that transforms and not destroyed.
Okay, and here's another question. She wants to know, if a person has had a problem with non-human entities, will those same non-human things bother the person in the next life?
You know, that depends on what the lesson is, what the purpose of that is. And usually what I've found is that when people have problems with things, it is because of a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's unresolved.
Yes, absolutely. And so the problem is not the thing. The problem is the lack of understanding or the unresolved issue or non-resolution.
And I think also perception is involved there as well.
That's right.
And it may be a misperception of how that problem is manifesting itself in their lives.
That's right. That's right, which directly comes from the unresolved, the fear, the non-understanding. So, yes, once you're able to really get an understanding of what is happening or what or why this is happening, or what, because a lot of times the things that we tend to look at as problems or issues, you know, we come from fear, and that makes it larger and makes it scarier and makes the truth of what's really happening even more oblique. Obscure. And so once you get to the bottom of it, or get to the understanding of it, whatever that is for the soul or the client or the person, it's different. It's completely different. It's like, you know, being afraid because to look under your bed as a child because you think there are monsters under the bed and there's a box that creates the shadow, and you create all of these things in your head about what you think that shadow is. But when you finally get an understanding of looking under the bed or having the courage to do so, when you see that it's this box, the whole perception of what you thought changes completely, almost instantly.
So if you'd like to learn more about this, be sure to check out Melissa's book, Lessons of Many Lives, on her website, ephcenter.com. Here's a question for you, Melissa. What perhaps is one of the most interesting past life regressions you've done, and was there any way to validate it after the fact, if possible?
Gosh, I've had so many interesting ones. I tell my clients that if they feel the need internally to go and try to Google or validate things, that's fine if they feel the need to do that, but it's my preference is to really trust, because these things that we talk about, these things that are you know, beyond what we're used to, it's really about a trusting and a getting connected, and you really can't prove those things. You know, they have to be things that you feel and that you have experienced yourself, is that you become the proof.
Okay.
Rather than
putting
something outside
you. Well, I think when you dive
into
mystical, you can't expect, you know, it's going to be an exact science, because somebody may think that they've had a regression, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, Melissa, but, you know, like, say, for instance, in your own case, a lot of women died in childbirth. A lot of women died historically. But you know what? Could that have been 1,300 or could that have been 1,700? You don't know where it falls on the scale, so it may be extremely difficult to validate any kind of date. Now, I mean, if somebody came back very specifically, and I think you'll remember the one case about the little boy out in California that felt that he had been reincarnated as he had been a fighter pilot in World War II, came about when the child was really, really young, and then, you know, it all kind of, you know, went away after that. But I think that kind of fits in with that.
That's right. That's right. And I have had some clients who actually have gotten dates and went back to look at either the dates that came up, what they were in, and they went back and validated and looked to see if the wardrobes that they wore matched. Actually, I've done that. My own personal stuff. I looked at dates or looked at the clothing that I was wearing, and it matched perfectly.
On that particular case, what I meant was that was the exception as opposed to the rule, because most of them, I think, are not like that, and they're a little bit more nebulous. But that doesn't mean they're any less valid. I mean, when we're talking about something that's mystical.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay, so what about reincarnation with, does that pertain to animals, things like that? So animals are also reincarnated?
Yes. I had a client a few years back who had a young, you know, like a little puppy, little dog. And the dog went everywhere with her, just everywhere. It was just the love of her life. And, you know, she treated it as, although it was, you know, one of her children. And she'd come to me and had a regression. And she was very curious because she felt very close to this dog and very connected to it, like most who, you know, most animal lovers do who have pets. And it turned out that she had realized that for the past 100 or so incarnations, that this dog had always come back with her.
Had been her companion, her beloved companion.
That's right, had always been her beloved companion.
So that's so, no matter how it manifested itself, that memory,
right.
That linked memory, that bond, that love continued.
Mm-hmm.
It was endless.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what a statement. What a great statement.
Yep.
So can a person have multiple souls is another question from the chat room.
Multiple souls? No, but they can... we can dual incarnate, so to speak, or we can split, so to speak, but it's still the same soul. And so even as an example, as we are here in this time, in this dimension right now, there's still a part of us that's on the other side. You know what I mean? We're never completely 100% in the body that we incarnate. And so and there are some clients that I've had that actually have been dual incarnates, which, and it gets very complicated, but that they have incarnated at the same time in order to speed up or accelerate their learning. That it's the same soul. Same soul.
Hmm.
Do you feel periodically, Melissa, that and you know, I'm not trying to get too far into the spirituality of it, but do you think that the more enlightened spirits or the most on the hierarchy come back to this plane of existence, and when they do come back, they may be like Buddha or Jesus Christ or Muhammad or other prophets and. So they come periodically to remind us of the message that we always seem to perpetually forget?
I think, yes, up until very recently, I'd say probably the last 50 years or so, or 100 years or so, I'll say yes. And I think now what's happening is that, you know, this wonderful thing that's happening is that we all, the average person, you know, the average everyday person now can have those awarenesses, can have that kind of remembrance now, and so it doesn't necessarily have to be looked at like you see Buddha or you listen to Buddha or you listen to Jesus Christ or follow an outside teaching. I think what's happening is that the awareness is being awakened inside us. And so now we all will have the opportunity to become enlightened, and to me, which is to remember who we are. And so I think now what's happening is that we're all waking up with the ability to have the insights that these wonderful mentors or these wonderful entities who had laid the groundwork for us up until now.
I think the Buddha said he wasn't a deity, but he was merely awake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
Were you saying just a moment ago that some souls are reincarnated into more than one person at the same time?
Yes, dual incarnates. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And another question, can someone come back in a different life form? We kind of answered that. Well, maybe we didn't from Earth. Can they come back in a different life form, and who or what forces design this plan for them?
We come ultimately from the best way that I can explain it is that we come from, let's just call it, for lack of a better word, source.
Mm-hmm.
And this source is ever present and all being, all knowing, and that is from where we all come from.
So can we reincarnate into an animal or an animal into a human?
The beauty, we typically don't, but the beauty of it is that if it is what we choose and if it is something that is in line with our soul progression, we absolutely can.
Do these animals, do they have a soul progression that eventually lands them in human form?
Yes.
Okay, so cockroaches are bottom of the barrel, huh? All right.
Those are the mass murderers and the serial killers.
Yeah.
That's their karma catching up.
All right, let's get to this the question that really is the point of the show, and how this all factors into ghosts and spirits and so forth. If you know what, how can we reconcile it all? The people, you know, when they die, they go on and, you know, whatever they do. Why is it that we seem to have ghosts and spirits hanging around, or spirits who come back, you know, to visit?
Oh my goodness. There's a multitude. It's like, it's a simple question, but the answer is really complex. Because, you know, these, the experiences that we have, I mean, they're for many. In some cases, there may be, you know, ghosts come back because they are trying to reach people. They are trying to give a message that, you know, it doesn't end here. And sometimes I remember when I died and I was in Chopper in such grief, sometimes the soul or the entity gets confused, you know, it gets trapped and it doesn't follow through its whole progression and it chooses to stay, like I probably would have stayed had I chose to move forward toward my guide. And so there are several different reasons. It's almost like when we try to understand the other side with our limited perception, it gets fuzzy and it sounds almost borderline on the ridiculous. But when you look at it from the other way, to say that we all have these wonderful souls that have experiences that need to be expressed, then you start to think of it as that it's unlimited. And it's ultimately a path for a learning of sorts.
Well, at the risk of sounding corny, we are blinded by what we encounter in the material world.
That's right.
We're totally blinded.
That's right.
And so maybe that's part of the process of the learning curve, is that you have to understand, you have to transcend that and be able to conceptualize the fact that, you know, we're all part of the huge tapestry. But, you know, I think what really I find remarkable, and I'm sure both of you guys will agree, is the fact that if people say, well, that's all well and good, that's you know, like real Sedona, and that's out there. But, you know, the bottom line is all you have to do is look at the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
The genetics say it all. I mean, I think there's universal truths, and that's certainly a universal truth that we all share the same genetics, and we're
that's
all
right.
the same people.
Yeah.
And for the
that's
life
right.
of me, what I can't understand is how these antiquated ideas and
like racism.
Well, and all kinds of other cultural things
right.
have, and I think it's, I hope we're on that shift of the paradigm, Melissa, because mankind is so much better than sometimes we behave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You're absolutely right. I agree.
So, Melissa,
where
did the souls come from the first time? What happens? Where do we come from, originate? But like
you know,
incarnation?
From what I've been exposed to and from what I see, it the answer is it's source.
Okay.
You know, we come from source. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's a few more questions. I just want to follow up, though, on the one that I asked. So just so I understand what you're saying, and correct me if I misunderstood it or wrong, but basically you're saying that these spirits or ghosts who are hanging around are still going through part of that learning process. That's why they're hanging around?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That process could be also to reach back and help someone else. Because, you know, when you have to think about it, when someone has the experience of seeing a ghost or a spirit or an apparition or things like that, you know, it changes that person's life as well. So it's connected in somehow.
Okay, so
if
two people incarnating with the same soul meet, what kind of relationship are they likely to have?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that if that were to take place, I don't know that the two pieces of the soul would choose to do that. you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, twin flames and mm-hmm. twin souls, like two souls being a part of one. So I don't really know.
Good. Well,
that's a great question.
Yeah. So, all right. I just had a question and it escaped me.
Happens to me all the time, Doug.
Yeah, I know. It's like getting old.
Right. Melissa, well, you know, I've always wondered, and you know, maybe you can either confirm or, you know, say, you know, like you're a little bit out there, Grant. But I've often wondered if in this physical or in this particular plane, if our physical bodies are also the vessels for a consciousness that came before us, that may be part of our genetic memory or part of the collective unconscious. And I thought that, you know, one of the answers to the last question, you know, I also would like to make a comment. And I think that, you know what, you can't be divided from something you're originally part of. We are a small part of an incredible whole.
That's right.
A small part, right. And that's what we constantly lose sight of. You know, when you want to say,
yes.
Where do the first souls come from? Well, that's to me, that's a moot question. We came from where we're supposed to. And I think that when we assume that we're separate, then that's when we lose sight of who we really are.
I 100% agree with you. Yes, and that has been revealed to me time after time in my own personal experiences and in the work that I do. You are absolutely 100% on point.
So yes. Let me weigh in on this too, because you know whether you believe in reincarnation or not, it's not so much the point. That one of the things to take away from this conversation tonight is just that we are all connected, that we are all the same. Strip the skin, you got the same thing. We're all people. We're all equal. You know, we're all star stuff, made of the stars.
That's right.
So we have to learn to get along better. We have to stop this crazy tribal warfare, these petty infighting, especially in the paranormal field. And, of course, many other fields have their own politics and petty infighting and all that human stuff. But we have got to evolve past that because it's just pointless. We have to become adults. Even if we are adults, we need to grow up as a race and stop fighting. So whether you do or don't believe in reincarnation is beside the point. We need to work together. That's
yeah,
a big
look for
part
commonalities
of it.
Instead of looking for differences.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find what we don't always do best, you know, and remember that as strange as it may seem, that person that you think is irritating you or somebody across the street or cut you off in traffic, for all you know, that could be a seventh or eighth distant cousin that you just cursed up one side and down the other.
In most cases, it is.
Yeah, most people don't realize that.
That's right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And that's, you know, the work that I do and the passion that I have for it is just that. It is. We are all connected. We all come from the same energy source. We really are. And in my book cover, you'll find that I've got all different ethnicities, and I have as many as I can get on the cover. And I have both male and female. And that's because we all have played those roles at one point in time in our evolution. And you know, when we look in the mirror, we may see a vessel, a body with a different color or a different style or a different this, but we have to learn, as you said, to look beyond that. That's who we really are. It's not what we see in the mirror. We're much more than that.
So do you do your sessions, do you do them only in person or do you do them over Skype? Or
yes.
Just
only
in person. Okay,
yes.
Which is probably wise. So if you're in the New York City area, you might want to contact Melissa, ephcenter.com, and your book again. They can get it where?
Lessons of Many Lives, and BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, any of the e-tailers, just pop it in on Google and it should come right up.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to contact Melissa if you want to be an explorer.
Yeah.
Because she
That's
can
right.
help
Please
She can
do.
Be your guide. Yeah. And you
yeah.
might find
Please
it
do.
Very worthwhile and very rewarding, and you know, even
and
if
not interesting, just
yeah.
just interesting, you know. So
yeah. step well, outside
absolutely.
Of the convention.
I find it fascinating too. I've done a few myself, Melissa, and
oh wow,
and I'm also a hypnotist, and it's fascinating stuff. And I have some of my own theories and that I want to research and in the
cool.
months and years to come. But anyway, we're going to. Release Melissa because she has got stuff going on, so we're going to do that. But one thing I will ask you, Melissa, since I can't talk to you privately off air, is I also have another radio program on Sunday nights, metaphysical program, and I'll send you an email. I'd love to have you come and appear if you were willing. So
I'd love to.
I'll email you that right away and let me know if you're available Sunday or some other Sunday, and we'll connect.
And we'd love to have you back here too, Melissa. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. I've been delighted.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, really, and I thank you both, Doug and Grant, for doing what you do, because it gives people like me an opportunity and a platform to really talk about my passion and to really try to educate and get some awareness out there. So I thank you both very much for having me.
Come shining through, Melissa.
Our pleasure.
It comes shining through.
Yeah. You have a great night, and I wish you the best, and I'll contact you.
Take care now.
Thank you so much. Good night.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So that was,
lady.
Yeah, she very lovely. Melissa Watts sounds like a pretty sharp lady. So if you're in her neck of the woods, be sure and give her a call if you'd like to explore past life regressions. Now, we have just a few minutes left, and I wanted to take just a few minutes to update.
We're going to reach out tonight, right?
Yeah,
now?
We're going to reach out, and we're going to touch everyone instead of just someone. But obviously, Paranexus is trying to grow, and I had mentioned this, when was it, last week when we had Clifford Clift on, about volunteers, and have had one or two folks interested in volunteering. What we're looking for is somebody who has some serious and decent website experience to volunteer, technical experience that way, but we're also looking for somebody to take over as the executive producer for this radio program. That would involve scheduling guests, finding and scheduling guests along with us. And so if you have an interest in that, you'd join the staff, you'd get your free membership, you'd have access to the courses on Paranexus Academy. We're looking for somebody who is a good writer, good communicator that way, and written skills. Also somebody who's dependable and reliable and would enjoy being a part of Paranexus staff and helping us to schedule guests. Jamie Havikin, who has been doing it and scheduling a number of guests that we hadn't gotten before, he just got so much going on, he's going to have to move on from that, but he will remain as our call screener, which we appreciate very much.
No, absolutely, and he's done a great job booking guests.
Mm-hmm.
We do appreciate that.
So if you're interested in helping us out with scheduling guests for the radio program, or if you have some serious website experience, or in some other way that you see a need, I'd love to hear from you. Just shoot me an email. It's real simple, admin@paranexus.org. You can also contact us via the website at paranexus.org. We're also looking and exploring some additional website software, updated a little bit with some of the social stuff to a point. We're still trying to maintain a very solid and grounded and academic or respectable, steady type of a website as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's well put, yeah. And, folks, don't be shy, because I know I can speak safely for Doug and I. We put on our pants the same way you do, one leg at a time. And so, don't let that, don't think that we're not interested. We're interested in anybody who really has a passion for the field, wants to make a contribution. And both Doug and I have also booked guests, and it can be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You meet some really interesting people. Sometimes it's about just going out on a limb and contacting people, and you'd really be surprised.
And we'll help.
How many nice folks? Yeah, absolutely.
We'll give you some ideas. So
mostly we want to give you an opportunity to be part of us. And,
yes.
We also welcome your feedback at any time, folks.
I mean, there's room in Paranexus for people who really want to help it grow. So we'd love to hear from you. admin@paranexus.org. And if you haven't visited Paranexus.org, please do so and join us. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're trying to discover more about human nature and the paranormal, anomalous of all types. So come and join us. And if you are a past member and you're not currently a member, we'd still love to have you back. So
yeah, come on back and join us. There's good things on the horizon. And, we appreciate all our listeners, all the folks that listen to the archives. like to hear from you more. Mm-hmm. You know, contact us. Let us know what shows you like. We don't get as much feedback as we would like from you guys, and you know, we're easily accessible. So don't hesitate to contact us.
All right. Thanks to everybody who's listening live, those listening to the archives, those in the Inception Radio Network chat room, as well as live listeners. We're out of time. Have a great week. See you next week.
Good night, everybody.